Today's reading in Joshua is at the end of Joshua, and that's the time that Joshua called all the congregation of Israel, and he's actually, this is his last speech to them. Now he's about to pass away, so he's kind of charging this congregation. And a few things very interesting in a way here is that there are three options to choose from in a way whom to worship for the people of Israel. One is the gods of their ancestors, which could be, in today's term, passed down traditions, or the way it used to be. And the gods of the Amorites, or the inhabitants of the land. In today's term, these could be what is the trendy. And the third option is the God of Israel, the God who has been real to them. So, interestingly, kind of lays out somewhat spiritual journey or confusion that we all go through, that there is sense that you're born into it. The traditions, the way how it used to be, the way how it has been to you. And then, obviously, as you go to places and to work and live in this world and connections, there are things that people call the trendy things. In a way, that's something that most people do, or a lot of people do, and they accept it as normal. Or in between that, there may be something that is very real for you, or has been real for you. It may not be exactly defined in the old terms or the trendy way. So, which one are you choosing? That's my first question. And from our New Testament reading, it is simply about, are you truly free? And I know this is a loaded question, because when I entered college and the very first philosophy class, instructor or professor came in and wrote one sentence, "Are you free?" And he said, "Write an essay right now," and he left. So we had guys just writing, "Yes, I am," done. To a person like me, a guy like me, I tried to write, like I wrote, I don't know, 8 pages. And my answer was, "I'm not free." It was very interesting. He didn't grade any of those essays. It was just kind of introduction to philosophy to think about. But are you free? Jesus came and told the Jews, our people, or all of us, we're not free. We will be free when we accept the truth and live by it, and the truth will set us free. That means we're not free until we cultivate that truth in us. So that's the second question. Again, you can say, you can answer simply saying, "Yes, I am." Or you can write 8 pages of answer and saying, "Maybe I'm not." But are you free? Combining this together, I kind of like to reflect upon, I have heard this term a few times. People somehow saying, "I'm shopping church." Have you heard this before?
Yes.
Like there was saying, "I'm seeking a church community." That's one thing. And "I'm shopping a church" is another thing. And they are totally different things in my mind. Because first, seeking means, yes, you have something in your mind, and then you are trying to find the community that has similar spirit and would nurture the way you feel, and you're welcome there. or the truth that can help you. That's kind of seeking. There's a willingness that you are to do something about to join that place. Shopping is something else. The more I think about it, more surprised I am. Yet, I believe that's the day we're living in. We also call it something called consumerism. And to a great degree, we're all consumers. Right? So when you need something, what do? You search it. Right? You search it diligently. When you find it, and what does it take to get what you need? A plastic card, right?
Yes.
If you have plastic card, either you have money in the bank or not, you can usually get it. And this consumeristic community and society, somehow, finding something you need is itself the end. So you only need to find it. Then it's yours. Problem with that is spiritual cultivation only begins when you find it. Yet, some of us may have this consumer mindset that because I found it, I have it. Therefore, maybe I'm living it. When I was 18 to 22, that was somewhat of my mentality. I read all these, you know, wonderful sages and their readings, and I understand them, so I should be enlightened. That's what I thought. What an illusion I lived, or fantasy. But somehow, our effort to be better or to be spiritual, somehow we stop at finding it. It includes actually like reading a book. You read a book about spiritual cultivation or self-improvement. And like you agree with it and like, wow, I should do it. Then you close the book. What do? A lot of Americans go to find another book just about same theme. Important thing is doing it, isn't it? My lesson that I kind of go back again, and I recently go back to this, and I'm really enjoying it, is actually something about fishing. I don't know if you have done it or not. Some of us may have big problem with catching an animal and killing it. So let's leave that all behind. I learned how to fish when I was 6. And it was not because it was fun. Actually, it was because that's the only way I could eat fish. Or something other than vegetables that my grandma has. And she usually eat once a day. If I catch a fish, then I can eat twice a day. So it was out of necessity. And in the beginning, I didn't know how to fish, of course. And I had half brother who was 7 years older than me, and he used to visit me on the summer vacation time, and he would take me fishing. Like he makes rod out of bamboo tree, and also there's a reed, and they cut it in a nice size and burn one size, and that's the bobber, and then he always brings those little hooks from the city, and we would go fishing with the red worms, of course. The beautiful thing about fishing is that you don't catch every time you go, right? Well, think about it. You have this one rod and one hook, and you throw it into a big lake, and you're hoping that your hook will get a fish. What are your odds? Not much. But once in a while, we'll catch something, and that was lovely. And I really loved it because I can think about now dinner that I'm going to have. And one day he told me that, you know, he saw it a few years and how excited I was, not about so much fishing itself, but about fish we caught. And he told me that, you know what, Juncho, you don't really have to wait for me to come and catch fish for you. You can catch them by yourself. I was like, wow, I could. And he taught me how to make the fishing rod and the bobber and how to tie the strings to it and how to find the worms. And yes, after that, I was fishing. And of course, I don't catch it every time I go. Once in a while, I catch something and that becomes my dinner and it was great. Lesson I learned is that many times, if you need something, you don't wait somebody else to give it to you. You find a way that you can make for yourself. Lesson number two, if you want to gain benefits of something that's really good, you should be doing it persistently. Even if you fail, it doesn't mean that you should just go back to the before. You continue. You know how many fishing rods I lost and broke? And how many days I was fishing for 5-6 hours and caught nothing? You know, it was more tiring actually than just not doing anything. But the next day I go back. The next day I go back. Or whenever I have time, I went back. A lot of times when we find something that is spiritually uplifting, you feel that upliftedness. And you feel that importance. And you acknowledge this is really good, true. And you're willing to probably invest that moment for that. Even a few days, even a few weeks. But then there's a time that it doesn't work for you anymore. It feels like that's all gone. They're all down anyway. It feels like that's far away from you. Many times we go back to the old way. Now the advice is, no, what you have tried actually is the right way. It's just that you're not going to get it every time you try it. And what's the truth that Jesus was really talking about? Interesting thing is, he doesn't actually explain what that truth is. I mean, read the Gospels. He talks a lot about many things. He never really says what's that truth that he talks about. To me, this truth is something that we all have to gain individually. It is not something that could be said and written in one sentence that fits everybody. It's impossible. We all need to find our own way of making this thing happen and connecting. And in fishing, that's what I learned a lot. You know, sometimes I make, you know, like thinking that if I reach to the farther end, like the deeper side of the lake, I may catch a bigger fish. So I make rod that is like 9 foot. You know what happens? As I was trying to swing it, it would catch the leaves and trees behind me more. It was too deep for me. It didn't work out. And sometimes I make it too little because, you know, it's troublesome to find the right size. And too little, what happens? I throw it and it just lands right here in the shallow water and there's no fish. Somehow I had to think about what to make, what's the right size, also what is right for me. I learned a lot actually about fishing. And then I need to study about fish too, like, where do they go? Like, do they stay here? So in the morning time, they are there. Noon time, they go here. Evening time, they come here. I need to go where the fish are to get, you know, maximize my possibility of catching one. If you are just casting hook into wherever you like or wherever you feel like, you may not catch anything. So spiritual cultivation to me is almost exactly identical and same. First is you need to find what works for you and be willing to modify yourself to fit into it. And the second, you need to be persistent on doing it. And third, you need to find the tools or remake the tools that you find to fit what you are. So, prerequisite to this is, again, you need to know about yourself and what you need and what you're willing to give up to get what you need. The Israelites had to give up the false gods in order to confirm their faith in their gods. And Jesus is saying that in order to be free, we have to acknowledge that we're not actually free. So, may God bless you all in your seeking and finding and cultivating yourself to be with God. Amen.